This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
So, walking down the High Line with Michael Stuhlbarg, discussing Molière, specifically the bourgeois gentleman, and we come upon this couple, a sweet couple visiting from Taiwan. They want us to take their wedding picture. They're in their... He's in his suit and she's in her traditional dress.
Sure.
They want us to take that. And so I say, oh, yes, give me the camera. And they're doing the nice poses. And then Michael says, do a jumping one. Do one where they're both jumping at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like they're sort of like hovering in. You know, a jumping one.
Sure. Yes.
And so they do a jumping one, but they for the first time, it's like not high enough. The second time, only the guy is jumping and the girl is like all has already landed.
Okay.
And so we go through this a few times and Stuhlbarg is getting more and more upset.
Uh-huh.
He really wants to see a good jumping one.
Sure.
And it seems like he wants to like kind of jump in and like show them how to do it, but he doesn't like, he's like a celebrity, he doesn't want it to be weird. And so ultimately what he ended up doing is he put on the suit.
Okay.
And jumped. And then put on the dress and jumped. And then kind of took those home.
Sure.
And stitched it all together.
Yeah. Comp. He comped it up.
He did a comp.
Yeah.
To create a really nice
sure
jumping photo. I don't know if you know what I mean by the jumping, by a jumping one.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know what you mean. Everybody's...
I don't know if you do.
Everybody's in the air at the same time.
Right.
But everybody, the thing he might not have factored in is that everybody has different vertical lifts.
Right.
I mean, if like, if this wedding was between this guy and like J.R. Ryder, then he would have had no problem at all.
Because J.R. Ryder's in the air seemingly forever.
Yeah, I mean, he was in the dunk contest.
Right, yeah. Did you're married. Did you get a jumping one?
We didn't.
What happened?
We just ran out of time. It's one of those things on your wedding day. It's so hectic and just suddenly you turn around and you're like, oh, snap, we didn't get a jumping one. Mm-hmm. And the photographer is already gone.
He's gone.
And you're just, or she... I just, there's...
What was it?
It was he.
Okay.
So I'm just saying
it was
that...
not or she.
Well, back then it would have just been he.
Right.
But now, like the sisters are doing it for themselves. And every one of these jobs that people would judge and say like, oh no, that's a male profession, like photography.
I appreciate that those guys dress in such a way that you could never confuse them with actually being at the wedding. It's almost as if they think no one can see them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're not going to be in any of the pictures, so they're like, it doesn't matter if I look like shit.
Yeah.
At this wedding.
Yeah.
Because as far as I'm concerned, only the pictures are like the existing record of this.
Yeah. Not the slob hovering the entire time, during the entirety of the wedding and reception, that dressed as if he could also be filming like a children's soccer game.
Hey, welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet lineback hallways of this industry we call showbiz. And Sean here would normally say, what up, which is a catchphrase that I invented and he swiftly took for himself, but he does it very well. But he's not here today. This is still a show. A lot of people were asking if we are a show anymore because we did miss a week of the show. Exciting week for us. We were named one of the top 10 podcasts by Vulture, and also an AV Club poll, finished second in that poll. And Tom, I want to congratulate you on your show.
Well, can you didn't say who I was yet.
Oh, this is Tom Sharpling who's here. Yes. But this is how I was going to introduce you. Tom Sharpling was honored in the same Vulture poll for being one of the best episodes of the year.
Oh, it was a fun one, too. It was a really, I thought it was just a blast, a comedy, just a knee-slapping, just yuck a minute episode 2 weeks after my father died. And I thought that was just a hoot and a half. And I'm glad Vulture just very wisely chose, out of the 50 something episodes I did this year, they picked the screamer of the lot, which just brought down the house.
It shows you, of all the episodes that you did, this is what people want more of in the coming year.
Well, I only have my mother left now, so there's, I don't know how many more they could get from me. I mean, I could record one where I die and then have it air just posthumously. I could do that. I'm sure that would probably top the list for those fine.
Well, that's an interesting point. You should maybe have these ready. Because you don't want to be caught unawares the opportunity to do a great episode should someone that you care about pass away.
Yeah, or myself.
So it might be good to bank some of these.
Yeah.
Bank some of these things.
Sure. I'll start. I think I should just truly bank the one where I die, and it'll just be like, you know how that thing happens in reality that movies have taken from the real world where if you're watching this, or if you're hearing this, then I am dead. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, because how many times has that happened to you in your life where you're just at the reading of a will, and then the person who died had filmed
all the time.
Yeah. Where they're just talking to you as if they're there. And, you know, that's happened to me probably half a dozen times. Three times, it turned out the person actually didn't die, and it was a whole thing to see who cared the most about them.
Yeah.
They wanted to see our reactions to it. They were in a different room.
Yeah, like Tom Sawyer.
Yeah, like when he faked his death. Mm-hmm. What did he fake, a car crash or something?
I think he ate a bunch of paint.
Okay. The white paint that he made the other kid do.
Yeah.
So
he wanted to like convince the other kid that it was delicious, I think. Trick the other one.
So rather
the other one, I think you're not allowed to say his name. I think there's like a racial slur in it or something.
It's a different era now.
Mm-hmm.
Just like with the women are doing.
They're doing it for themselves.
For themselves.
Yes. But wouldn't it be nice if you did bank that episode to know, couldn't you die happy knowing that that episode was going to make it into the best episodes of the year?
If I could get a guarantee from them.
I don't think you need it. I'm pretty sure it would at least make number three.
Yeah. So I'd go up a notch.
Well, because you don't expect, you know, like it was a great episode, the one after your father died. It's not going to be Obama on WTF.
No, why would it be?
It's Obama on WTF.
Yeah, of course. No, I knew that going in. You don't think I came in just being like, look, guys, this one will land us on the charts somewhere, but we're already just going to seed
number two tops.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the list. The WTF was on the WTF with Obama was on the main podcast list. This was the comedy one.
Yeah.
So yours finished, you know, in the best comedy list, but it's not going to beat the Judge John Hodgman episode where he talks about the Santa suit. The guy was
No.
So, I mean, like, take your shot, but it's not
going
to beat.
I knew going
the Hodgman Santa suit episode.
I was like, what came in like sixth or seventh on that list?
Six was Stop Podcasting Yourself had Alicia Tobin as a guest. Mm-hmm.
I knew going in that day, I was like, if we play all our cards right, we have a pretty good shot of topping that episode of Stop Podcasting Yourself with Alicia Tobin.
And you did.
And we did. Oh, yeah. Dreams come true sometimes, Hayes.
So it was an exciting week for us. We were also announcing the debut of Handbook East. We have sort of gotten the network together, and Tom is still, you are still a partner with us on it.
Actively involved.
Yes.
A little shuffling.
Yeah, we did. Yes, we did have to reshuffle a little bit where we now have a new sort of overseer.
Yes.
For the process, the person who's doing some of the just like the executive work of what you were going to do.
They're blue skying.
Yes.
Their
quality control is a big part of it. Just someone to sort of watch you and like make sure it's all. Jake Fogelnest, we're very excited to say, is essentially taking over Earwolf East or whatever the network is. Still, the title is still pending. I think Jake is going to be great at coming up with the
He already is. It's already it's a total joy. Look, this is the kind of thing I know most people, if they're like, hey, weren't you in the captain's chair on that, and now you're not, Jake is.
And you don't want to be the guy who gets blamed if it goes wrong, you know, in like the press and stuff. You don't want like the press to be coming after you if it doesn't go well. And you also don't need the positive attention if it does go well.
I don't need it. I don't need it. You're right. I don't need it. I think it's just a gift to go from top of the pyramid to second, maybe third down from the top of the pyramid.
I guess meat. You're in the meat.
I'm the
section.
Yeah, because it's like
of the food pyramid.
Because what's at the top of the food pyramid
sugar,
now?
Sugar. Sweet sugar.
That's at the top. And Jake is a sweet guy, which I think is probably why he's there also. And look, I had a pretty solid run up there. I thought we had a lot of kick-ass ideas and just things didn't pop the way that maybe they could have.
They didn't. But now with Jake, and also, by the way, Jake needs you as well for this thing, because, you know, he's not doing his podcast anymore because he's so busy. You can't work on a television show and do a podcast at the same time. It's never been done.
Well, Jake calls me his foot soldier, which I take as nothing but that's like I wear that as a point of pride. I'm boots on the ground, he also says, and I'm just the one, like, he's like, you pound the pavement and you just report back to me. And he says recon back to me a lot. He talks in a lot of crypto military terms, which I don't think he ever served in the military. I'm not sure. Do you know whether he's a veteran or not?
Did Jake Fogelnest ever serve in the military? He does use a lot of those terms, and he does have like big jackets, big green jackets.
With medals all over them. Yeah. He has the, when he enters a room, it has just has the.
You want to snap too?
Yeah.
You just want to snap too?
Sure. So reporting to him now is just a joy, and some might call the things he comes up with whims or half-baked conceits that I have to go jump headfirst into now and follow up to their fullest. Yeah. And then sometimes he doesn't remember the thing that he made me chase down, and then he yells at me.
I know he wants to do that Michael Rappaport podcast that's called I'm Not Rappaport, but I don't think he knows what I'm Not Rappaport is.
He didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And
do you?
Do I?
Yeah.
No, because I was waiting for him to tell me, and I just didn't. I think it's a Doug Henning type magic thing.
It could be. Yeah.
Is it?
Okay.
Do you know?
No, I don't know.
None of us. But he certainly wanted me to fast track that thing. And I've been at like 5 Knicks games now trying to talk to Michael Rappaport. And he's hard to get a hold of.
Yeah.
He looked at me one time and then I tried to bring up A Tribe Called Quest to find some kind of common ground where I was just like, kick ass.
You ever see them back in the day?
I was like, well, he made a doc about them, and I said, kick ass doc. And then he was like, Yeah. He went, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was online at the Shake Shack.
Okay.
Thing. And then he got three shakes. He only got shakes there. I think most people, they call it Shake Shack, but people.
It's mostly the burgers.
The burgers.
Yeah.
I don't think he knew that they sold anything other than shakes.
No. I think he mostly gets name food. Like, my understanding with him is that he's a name food kind of guy.
Like, what is a good example of name food?
Well, he'd go to the Burger King and get the burger.
Yeah.
He'd go to Dairy Queen and, I guess, ask for some cheese.
Yeah, and when he goes to Shake Shack,
he's going to get those shakes.
Yeah.
So does he get a cardboard carrier tray.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And he also has a Knicks batting helmet on, which there's no batting in basketball, which I didn't understand how he had one of them. Uh-huh. And it has the two little cup things on the thing you can set them on, but no straws coming down. They're just,
he has to reach up
and grab it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because those cardboard carrying trays usually only have one space in them for drinks. So I guess if he knows he's going to be getting three shakes,
yeah,
that's what he needs the helmet for.
Well, he has two up top and then one in his hand, and then the other one's free. He has to have his ticket,
right,
to be able to get back to his courtside seat.
And he also wears a basketball glove to those games
to catch a basketball,
I guess, in case he catches, uh-huh, in case a basketball
bounces toward him,
comes his way. And then he does have to, you do have to just give it back.
But he doesn't. I remember one time at a Knick game, Sweet Lou, I think Dwayne Wade drove in, and then Sweet Lou just jumped up and knocked that shit to the fourth row. He said, get that shit out, that weak shit.
Yeah.
And he said to Dwayne Wade, come strong or don't come at all. And then the ball bounced to Michael Rappaport, and the ref was just like, I think it was like Steve Javy.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Was Steve Jaffe was just like, give it back. And then he was like, I caught this fair and square. I'm not giving it back. It's in my basketball glove.
I've seen him pretend that he doesn't actually have it and put it under his shirt.
Harlem Globetrotter style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of room for, like, more stuff under that shirt. So,
under his Charles Oakley jersey. Oak.
So anyway, we do want to talk about what happened last week. So Fogelness was in the studio. We were going to announce the launch. And I guess we just want to sort of talk about what went down. Hang on one second. Sean is calling me. He has this new app that he wants me to use that is like the phone.
Mm-hmm.
App, but it's separate. It sort of just replaces the phone app, and it doesn't ring.
It just,
and so I just have to, like, sort of leave the phone face up,
okay,
and watch for it to light up, which it does, but it, like, lights up very dimly. But I don't have to rush to answer the phone because it does just kind of ring forever. It's called Voice Choice.
Okay,
this is gonna be
so he uses Voice Choice.
He uses Voice Choice, and he does want to get the word out about it. So I think that may be why
Is it like a money saving thing?
No, it's a lot more expensive than because you need your original phone plan in order to be able to access Voice Choice. But I think it's louder.
Okay, so Voice Choice is the louder alternative.
It's louder except for the ring, which is silent.
Which is non-existent.
Yes.
Yeah.
So hang on one second. Let me just get this real quick. Hey, Sean.
Hi. Hello. Hayes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Hayes.
Hey, Hayes. It's me, Sean Clements.
Hi.
Yeah. I'm on the phone with you now, and I don't know why, but I have this weird feeling that people are going to be thinking that this is not a real phone call, that it's some pre-recorded message that I did where I just left spaces like the one I'm about to leave at the end of this sentence for you to say, like, uh-huh, I know.
Oh, that's crazy. I don't know why people would think that. Yeah, me too.
Anyway, I'm thinking that I need to tell our audience and our listeners the truth of where I'm at, even though it can be very dangerous for them to know. So I'm not going to say which country I'm in, but it's one of the ones that is having a lot of sand instead of where there should usually be earth. So I'm there, and I'm doing a big, big mission, kind of an Argo-style mission. The secret government called me and wants my help, and I said, well, I'm busy, it's the holidays, but then they, you know, said no one else could do it, and I said, well, what about Hayes? And they said, no, definitely not Hayes. I don't know why, but yeah. Anyway, you understand.
Yeah.
So... if you remember, there was a movie called Argo, mm-hmm. where a bunch of heroes went to pretend to make a movie called Argo.
Yeah.
So what I and some other powerful agents, I'm not going to name drop, but one of them was recently a guest on Denzel Washington is the best actor of all time, period.
Oh, Spike Lee.
Spike Lee. And we are pretending to make that Argo. The Argo where they're pretending to make Argo. We're pretending to make
to
that,
make that Argo. Okay.
So we're pretending to make a movie called Argo where they pretend to make a movie called
Argo.
Argo. Oh,
okay.
And it's been going pretty well so far. Nobody suspects anything because we're all really good actors and really professional.
Oh, great.
And we're saving the day and justice and America. So, but what's been going on with you? I realize I've been talking the whole time on this real phone call that's not pre-recorded. And haven't heard about what you're doing.
No, I mean, things have been...
Oh, no.
Okay, yeah. Well, I hope you won't be mad.
They
but
did?
Yeah, we didn't air the episode last week. Yeah. Well, I'm glad
so
you're
good.
Not mad.
Okay, Hayes. Well, enjoy doing the show, and I know that... do you have one of the guests there? And hi, guest.
Well, it's Tom. Hey, Sean. It's
yeah,
Tom
it's
Sharpling.
Actually Tom.
How are you?
I mentioned a couple of... guests you were going to get that I believe I had given reason to sort of mildly dislike me. So, so to the guest, and I heard you say hi to me, and I'm saying hi back, and
he did.
Sorry.
Yeah. That's okay.
So, stay cool or stay warm this time of year. And I'll just be doing Super Argo over here, and I'll update you if I can. Peace.
Hey, Sean, can you tell me about voice choice?
He hung up. Sorry. Voice choice also has a very limited amount of time that it can stand to be an app.
Sure. And then it
does not want to be an app.
So it's like a. Is it like a Cinderella kind of thing?
Yeah.
After midnight, it stopped being an app?
It's been brought to life by essentially a bad wizard in terms of, in tech terms.
So that's like deep web.
Deep web stuff. Tor. Mm-hmm. It's like Tor server.
Silk Road.
Things, yes.
Right?
With Pirate Bay.
Do you know the kind of stuff? All kidding aside.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the stuff they sell on the Silk Road thing?
No.
Get a load of this. Machine guns.
Come on.
Heroin.
Tom.
Hitmen.
No.
Yeah.
Have you?
It's all sorts of just, I have not been on it.
You haven't been on there?
I go to.
How do you know all this stuff?
Well, I have a subscription to Rolling Stone, and they had a pretty, article.
They always do dangerous stuff about.
Well, they always have an article. It's either about some 23-year-olds who get weirdly rich, and then one of them gets killed by someone
because they
got rich because they were doing something illegal.
Yeah.
Or they have an article on, like, Petty.
The Koch brothers are being mean. Yeah, or Tom Petty.
It's one of three articles.
Yeah.
It's an article on Tom Petty, the Koch brothers being mean, or some 23-year-olds who found a way to game something illegally, and then one of them ends up getting executed, and the other one's talking from jail.
So we do want to talk about what happened last week. It was a normal show when we were doing it. I thought it was going great. I thought Jake was super funny, and we should say engineer Jason, who's here, was there as well. Did you think, if you could actually put your phone down for a second? I know, and I know you call him. I know you call him Dudio, right? Isn't that your little like name for him?
Yeah.
We like to keep it more of a, more like a workplace where we don't do, like, you know, the funny name and all that stuff. Like, his name is Jason and he's the engineer for the show. We are going to be calling you Engineer Jason. And you were there last week. And what did you think? I mean, I don't want it's my show. I don't want to say that it's like my show's a great show or whatever. But like, how did you think it was going?
I thought it was excellent.
Did you think that Jake was funny?
Oh, yeah. He's perfect.
Yeah. And what about Tom?
Tom was okay.
Okay.
Oh, cool. That's fine. No. Did you...
Tom was great. Tom was great.
Thank you. I'm glad you upgraded okay to great. You did a fair amount of work to make sure his medals didn't bump into the microphone. That seemed like there was a fair amount of trouble with... Right. He had so many medals on that uniform he was wearing.
Yeah.
From an engineer's point of view, was that a challenge?
Well, I even taped a lot of them beforehand with electrical tape.
Electronic tape
to kind of deaden the sound.
Mm-hmm. LED.
Still didn't do it.
Tape.
Yeah.
Saying. Yeah.
Like Daft Punk tape.
Exactly.
So is that the tape they put for like to simulate robot?
Yeah. Letters running across the, say like robot party time.
That's the exact tape I used on Jake last week.
Oh, okay.
Still.
That's such an interesting part of the process. Anyway, we were recording the show, and then I noticed, I don't know who noticed it first, but my headphones starting to get really hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that it was just you, Andrew Jason, fucking up. But then I hear in the headphones this strange voice that was kind of like a scary monster voice saying... Greetings, Hayes, Tom, and Sean. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess he thought Sean was on the show, but he was off that week. And then the computer screen that you have in here starts to go staticky. And then I see on it the face of Anonymous. Like one of these Anonymous guys had taken over the soundboard and the computer. Has that ever happened to you before? Or?
No, that was weird. That was the very first time.
Okay, and were you scared, Tom, when that was happening?
I was scared because...
Okay, because at the time you were saying, I'm not scared, I'm brave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I said it repeatedly.
Yeah, you were saying it a lot.
Yeah, and...
It's good to know now that you were scared.
Because I swear, one of the things with that Anonymous face is that it's a mask, right?
Yes.
I would have bet the farm that face changed a little bit. Like I could see him smile, and then I could see
that
like,
was scary,
sad, and then he looked like quizzical.
I actually, I thought that was happening for a second too. I think he was putting on different masks because he was turning around, and then it would come back as a different face. So I could definitely see how you thought that his face was changing, but I think that when he was turning around, he was actually putting a different mask.
Is that why he was saying that? It would probably go something like this, and then he turned around.
Yeah, and he would stay turned around for a really long time.
Yeah.
And then he would turn back. He would say, if I were smiling, it would probably go something like this.
Yeah.
And then come back with a different mask on.
So he was changing masks then. That's like the... But that's why there was also just like, he kept like shaking these keys with his hand. It's like a misdirect. I was looking at the keys the whole time.
I was looking at the keys, too. They were very shiny.
Yes. And that's when he must have been doing, because that's like a magician. That's like magic 101.
Yes. It's what you're not seeing that's being the most of the magic.
Yes.
So this Anonymous guy's on the screen. I think he was mostly mad. Now it makes me think that maybe Jake was involved in the armed forces in some way, because I know Anonymous is mad at them right now. And so... I think maybe that was why they showed up to, like, take over the show. Anyway, and then the train because like people know this, we're recording this in Tom's studio, which is in an abandoned train yard.
It's not abandoned.
Yes, because
it's
we're
going
here
to be shut down soon. It's in the process of being downsized.
Decommissioned.
Yes.
Yes. An imminently decommissioned train yard.
Yeah, which has certainly not helped the climate around here in terms of safety.
Right.
Because once the word got out that they were shutting this thing down, it was like a magnet for just for every piece of trash to come here and just wreak havoc however they chose to.
And a lot of scrapping, I noticed, has been going on. Sometimes mid-show, a big piece of sheet metal will be ripped out of the wall, which affects the warmth of the sound when that happens.
It does. It makes it a little bouncier than I choose. Yeah. I also have it's not as just not, it used to be more communal to be around the flaming garbage can with the other people. And now it just feels like it's just not the same.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like it's skunked, like a skunked beer. You ever have a skunked beer?
Yeah, where it's really hot.
Like, yeah, where somebody's like, who left this beer in the sun?
And it's like boiling hot, but you don't want to look like a loser.
Yeah, who can't handle a beer.
So they're like, chug, chug, chug.
Yeah, so
but it is so hot.
Yeah, and then you're just like, in your mind, you're just like, well, this is skunked.
Yeah.
But if I stop drinking this thing, they're all going to think I'm a loser. I got to chug this skunk beer. And then I chug it. And then the worst thing is when they go, that was a chug so nice, let's do it twice. And then I have to...
I hate that chant.
Chug. That was a chug so nice, let's do it twice. That was a chug so nice. And it's so weirdly...
It's too long.
It's got one syllable too many at the top.
Yeah, yeah.
But they love it.
Yeah.
But then I chug another one just because I want to fit in.
It's interesting that you could say, you know, about the communal fire trash barrel and stuff. Because when we were being pulled away on the train that had been electronically commandeered by Anonymous...
Mm-hmm.
We were yelling for help through the big holes in the wall to your friends in the yard. And I think they were maybe pretending they couldn't hear us.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were definitely close enough to hear us saying, like call for help. Or
they did start singing their doo-wop louder when they heard that. I think that way they could just pretend. It's just like, hey, we were singing just we're singing like... get a job around the garbage, flaming garbage can, and we just were doing all our parts on that, and then...
The deep voice guy was really bringing it more than he with the, like... Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
He was doing it much showier than he usually is. I know he was trying to drown us out.
Mm-hmm.
Not cool with him.
So now, that's... Yeah.
I did not share my baked beans with him today.
So we're going along the rail line through a secret sort of cyber tunnel, I guess, this network of cyber tunnels that they already have in place. Went to their headquarters at the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
And they started interrogating us, but they didn't really want to. They talked about like Hollywood stuff. I guess they wanted to know about different things because they're, you know, mad about the piracy things and stuff. But I think they mostly wanted to know how to throw and catch a baseball. Did that happen to you?
With them?
Did they ever bring that up? Because like when they first came into my interrogation.
Yeah.
There was like a ball and glove sitting there already.
Mm-hmm.
And they were starting to ask me questions about like the business and stuff. And they were like, oh, that's funny. Like, you know, there's a thing there. Like, I wonder how I would use that. Mm-hmm. Like if I wanted to,
yeah.
Like it seemed like they just wanted someone to teach them.
Sure. Mine was different. They did ask me about Hollywood stuff. The thing they kept grilling me about was the movie Django Unchained.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to know why King Schultz, played by Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, oh yeah, King Schultz.
Why he just didn't go himself to Candyland and get Broomhilda out. That why did he have to bring Django with him?
Uh-huh.
Because it just made the situation so much trickier that it was going to just heat up.
Because all the guys that he was going to meet
mm-hmm.
in Candyland explicitly hate black people, right?
I guess so.
And so bringing a free black man into that environment mm-hmm. would immediately make the situation supercharged with tension.
Yeah.
What he should want is to be able to sort of like sneak in there quietly.
Or
is
just rolling by himself.
Right.
Just make the deal and split.
Right.
They wanted to know why that happened. And then I told them that's what we call showmanship.
Mm-hmm.
There'd be no movie to watch, and we can't let the fun police slow us down.
Okay. And did they like that?
They got it.
They got it.
Because they're working on a screenplay.
Yeah.
Anonymous is working on a spec script.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh off the boat.
Okay. Now, I wonder if that had something to do with the playing catch thing. Because
mm-hmm.
it might be an episode mm-hmm. where the dad, the yeah. main dad,
yeah.
is teaching the funny rapping boy yeah. how to
mm-hmm.
do catch.
Because they also asked me if I had any Cypress Hill CDs that they could borrow.
Uh-huh.
And if I could catch them up on like Onyx.
Right.
Like on mid-90s hip-hop. Because I guess Anonymous, I guess they're really taking this fresh off the boat spec script pretty seriously.
Okay, I guess so. And it was like, they needed, with the catch thing, they needed help because they were just using their hands.
Mm-hmm.
Like only, if you can imagine someone throwing a ball mm-hmm. using only their hand
mm-hmm.
and like no other part of their arm, like, you know,
feel like not, a dinosaur,
not turning their hips at all, just their hand. And when they would catch the ball, they would move their bodies mm-hmm. out of the way of the ball's mm-hmm. path and hold their arm as far out away from their bodies as they could
mm-hmm.
and try and catch it that way. So they were almost turned away, facing away from the ball.
Mm-hmm. It's not, yeah, I don't think sports is a huge part of that whole culture.
Yeah.
But I give them credit for really immersing themselves in to what a character would do.
Mm-hmm.
So they're for their fresh off the boat spec, they really just want to know about playing catch and Onyx.
But they were nice. They ended up being pretty nice until I
assume I can talk about this is what happened. Like, we were all sort of sitting in the den area, and you walked in with some of the other guys, and they asked you to take your shoes off before you went in the den because of the rug. And I guess you, like,
it's not my thing.
You don't like to take your shoes off.
Well, just don't have that kind of rug. It's like,
no, that's what you said, but
yeah,
just under given the circumstances where like they had demonstrated so much power to us and we were essentially their captives, for you to say just don't have that kind of rug, for me being in that situation with you, I remember thinking like, oh, I kind of wish you like wouldn't say that, but I guess you just really don't like to take your shoes off.
It's not my, again, especially underwater, it's not my thing.
Okay.
I just, if you're going to invite people into your house,
yeah,
have the nice rug in the back of the house. That's your private side of the house.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Or at least have like a foyer where people could have their shoes on.
Well, this wasn't the living room. This was like the den. I mean, it's more of like a hangout. It's a more relaxed sort of hangout space.
I just wasn't into it.
And taking their shoes off is nobody's thing. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, like no one says, taking my shoes off is my thing. So when you say
well, when I said if I'll take my shoes off if you take those masks off.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't like that.
They don't like taking their masks off.
And then the guy turned around, shook some keys, and then hit a very mad look on his face when he turned back around.
Yeah.
He looked angry.
Mm-hmm.
And then I made a joke, and then he started shaking his keys, and he turned back around and had a very stern look on his face. He did not think that joke was good.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess pretty soon after that, we got the, I guess, renditioned. Is that the word for it? Like, with, you know, the black hoods over our head and stuff. Taken on a long trip. And I don't know, like, it's hard to know because, like, we couldn't see, like, exactly what the, what was going on. I think for a while we were on a boat.
Yeah.
Which I think might have actually been an Incubus cruise.
I remember hearing.
Did you hear Pardon Me?
There was like an it sounded unplugged and outside.
Yeah.
Like this is like the warm up stuff on the cruise. Like the real show will be on like Saturday night.
Yes. But it felt sort of like fake, unrehearsed to me, where like a bunch of people were gathered around and like Brandon just comes out and is like, hey guys, like, do you mind if we like play a few songs? And then like everyone cheered as if they were on this boat to see Incubus. And that's what made me think it was an Incubus cruise, because he did Pardon Me and he did Drive.
Unplugged.
Unplugged.
Yeah, that makes sense now. I didn't think about, I guess, you know, usually
I'm did you think was happening at the time?
I thought that somebody with the world's worst iPod was doing some sort of like system test. Like, and they were playing like some like live shows, some live Incubus that they had on their iPod. I should have noticed that it smelled like sea air too, right?
Yes. Yes.
Now that comes together and you just piece the things together, and I could just, it was an Incubus party crew, like a party cruise.
Yeah. And I think they weren't the only band that was there. I think Fuel was there. Because I think they were playing in like a much lower performance base, because I heard Hemorrhage in My Hand, but like really muffled. So it sounded like they were sort of relegated to like the low, low decks.
Sure. And I remember hearing, this is all coming together now, I remember hearing a guy playing an acoustic guitar version of Bodies, which must have been the dude from Drowning Pool.
I think it was, yes.
But he was like doing this, like, he was like, jin, 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 let the bodies hit the floor, let the bodies hit
the floor.
It
was sort of a soulful, like, Ray LaMontagne version of,
yes,
of Bodies.
Or like when Dave Grohl does, like, acoustic songs and he sings in that voice when he's like, if anything could ever be this real. Suddenly he sings, suddenly he's doing this whisper singing that's like
really not singing at all.
No, he's, it's like he's doing an ASMR video to the tune of Everlong.
Yeah.
If anything could ever be this real forever, if anything could ever be this real, oh yeah, the only thing I ever ask of you, I'm gonna, you've got the promise. Stop.
And he even messes up.
Like I just did.
Yeah. You're just doing a faithful recreation.
Right on the money.
When he does those versions, just to show how casual and intimate a setting it really is.
Yeah.
Because like for songs like that, you want to feel like you're not listening to like a professional performer doing it.
No.
Yeah.
So that was the Drowning Pool dude was the giveaway for me now looking back.
That we were on an acoustic Incubus cruise.
Yes. So That took a while, though. We were on that
thing. Yes, very long. I think it was a cruise around the world.
And there were a couple stand-ups. Did you hear stand-up comedy on it?
Yes, I absolutely did. I think I heard Joe Coy.
And Brian Callen?
Yes, definitely heard Brian Callen. Mm-hmm. I heard Rich Voss.
Yes. And I remember hearing they were doing like a Mystery Science Theater kind of thing to Hangover 2. But no one...
That was awesome. That was awesome.
But they weren't making fun of it. They were just saying, like, nothing to make fun of here, guys. This is the best movie
I've ever seen. They talked about what a good piece of business it was.
Yeah. Just how a franchise popped out of this thing and how it was a good thing they locked everyone into a three-picture deal. Like, it was weirdly inside. It was like weirdly industry talk.
It didn't seem like they had seen the first Hangover or that they knew there was a first Hangover.
Yeah.
But they were still enjoying this movie on its merits.
Yes.
But kind of catching up.
I remember some people were having a hard time following it.
Mm-hmm.
They were just like, what? Someone's lost? I don't know what's going on here. And then he has a Mike Tyson tattoo on his face.
Yeah.
The guy
that didn't seem to pay off for them like it should. Like, I remember when I saw it, like, I was busting up because I had seen the Mike Tyson tattoo on Mike Tyson's face in the first one.
Sure.
But if I hadn't seen that, I don't know if I would have been capable of enjoying it as much.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw it on Ed Helms's character's face, I believe his name is Marv.
Marv. Yes.
And of course, the guy who gets lost, Doug.
Doug.
That's who I am in the wolf pack.
You're Doug?
In the wolf pack of my friends. Mm-hmm. I'm sort of a Doug type.
I'm the type of guy who likes to say...
Which one are you?
I'm more of is there a Ray?
Yeah.
I'm more of a Ray, because I'm the kind of guy who just like, if my friend is like a doctor, I'm just like, I call him and I just say like, paging doctor, you know, and then just the worst homophobic word you can say after that. I just throw that around like it's nobody's business.
Yeah, that's Ray.
You know.
And he's like, stop being a doctor and like, come on the trip.
And then I steal his pharmaceutical pad and he's like, now give it back.
Engineer Jason, which one are you in the wolf pack? This sounds like it's maybe an emotional subject for you.
I've been asked this a lot.
It's hard to go back again to something you hear over and over.
Yeah.
Just
like the kid. I didn't mean to like raise any like old demons for you when I asked about
like the Ken Jeong character. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chang.
Okay, you're Mr. Chang.
That's what I've been told.
Yeah. The character, the name of his character and everything he's ever done.
That's me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I could see how that would be.
I end up in trunks a lot.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Naked.
Naked.
In the nude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably why.
Okay.
I can see why they would, if that's what's going on with you, I could see why people would leap to calling you.
Make that connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's also not actually in the wolf pack. The wolf pack is
Alan,
of course.
Ray,
Marv,
and Doug.
And Doug.
Yeah. Duh.
So if I had to choose, I could choose one of those?
No, it's your friends.
I'm given
that. You decide with your friends.
Okay.
Yeah. None of us choose our wolf pack designation.
No. You just know whether it's you. And if you know you're a Dr. Ken, then you're a Dr. Ken. It's okay.
I think I just know I'm a Dr. Ken.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to take a break. It's just getting a little sad. And we're on the Around the World Incubus cruise, and we'll talk about it more when we come back on Hollywood Handbook. Hey, guys, we're back on Hollywood Handbook. Normally, We would do a theme song to announce this, but this is it's a different kind of show where we're just telling the story of what
Jake said. I could say, "What mm-hmm. up? What up?"
That it is not Jake's purview necessarily.
Okay,
and so this is something that I would really rather not do, mm-hmm. but because you've sort of asserted your authority in that area, and so is Jake, I'm gonna ask engineer Jason to say, "What up? What up?
What up? What up?"
And that's why we don't play with it, because it can be a disaster when just anyone is doing it.
2015's ending now.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are. Hollywood Handbook so hot
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm.
My show, The Best Show, is in the mix.
I forgot to congratulate you. You were also number 5 on the AV Club.
Yeah, number 5. We made number 5 on the list. You guys are 2. I'm 5. I just need some of that. Mm-hmm. Some of that Hollywood Handbook shine a little bit.
You and by the way, the readers poll is the one that's the most important to us, because that's the fans.
That's the people.
Mm-hmm.
And it is more prestigious.
Mm-hmm.
A readers poll is always more prestigious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you couldn't find 2 people in Hollywood who would say, if I had a choice between an Oscar or a People's Choice Award, I would take a People's Choice Award every time.
Everything that involves a fan vote is understood to be
pure.
The purest expression of excellence.
Because no one votes multiple times.
Yeah. Like when Yao Ming would play 5 games and get injured.
And
then win the All-Star voting by like 10 million votes.
Yes, and be the starting center for the
or like
for
when
West.
Jaromir Jagr,
mm-hmm.
who's like 47 years old,
mm-hmm.
is in the top 3 in NHL All-Star Game voting this year, and has to go on television and say, "Please, please don't make me play in this game.
My legs hurt."
But yes, fan votes are good.
But on the because Derek Jeter
mm-hmm.
put up some of the strongest numbers of anyone in baseball during the final couple years of his career.
Mm-hmm. That must have been why people were cheering every time he came up to bat.
He was getting better and better and better, and then he quit at the top of his game.
Yep.
So. The fans said you're second best after mm-hmm. who?
The Flop House.
Okay. And I'm 5th best.
Mm-hmm.
I need to.
And by the way, yes. I mean, obviously, the Flop House best podcast of 2015.
Sure.
For sure. I think.
Oh, my
the
God.
The stuff they're doing with the current events and pop culture and the discussion.
Unimpeachable.
It's the master.
So I was just, that's why I tried the Sean thing on for a second. I tried it on for size. Jake said I could.
Uh-huh.
I guess he was speaking out of school.
Did you ask? Did you come to him and say, "Can I do this?" What was that conversation like?
Not so many words.
I find it hard to believe that he would approach you
mm-hmm.
and say, "Tom, I'd like you to, and the way you say he said you could do it
mm-hmm.
suggested me that you came to him and
it went down. Asked. Okay, this is how it went down. I said to him, "Guess who I'm doing an impression of?"
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, "Okay, let's hear it." And then I went, "What up? What up?" And he's like, "What is that?" He's like, "What is that, Sean?" And I was like, "Yeah."
And so, this is the end of the conversation?
Yeah.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't know if the pause. I imagine there was a pause of the conversation after that.
No, he walked out of the room. Halfway through I was talking, he just walked away.
Okay.
He does it a fair amount. I'll be in the middle of saying something and he just either looks at his phone or just actually walks out of the room.
But he did know that you were doing Sean.
Yeah.
Which I guess in your mind is permission.
I guess now I look back, that was not as as complete a permission as I thought it was. But it's like, if Sean's going to miss an episode while he's on these adventures, it's like, they rotated out three stooges and,
sorry. Sean is calling me. The voice choice makes the phone very cold.
Okay. You should have put, if only you had that last week with the hot headphones.
I know.
We could have just done the show normally.
I could have put my cold phone, yes, under one of my ears. And
it would have canceled. We could have passed your cold phone around and gotten through it.
Anyway, I should take this. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Cookie. It's the Clem Dog with another real phone call is happening now, and you can just confirm that by saying yes right now.
Yes, it's real. I mean, you don't Thank have to you. Say that it's real.
Anyway, Cookie, this is me, and I'm the Clem Dog, and I'm calling with a little update on Super Argo, which is slightly stressful. One thing that happened is I think we all thought everyone else involved was a little more familiar with the movie that we were pretending to do, where they pretend to do a movie. Uh-huh. And a lot of us had maybe only watched a screener maybe after some turkey about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And don't really know. One thing we do remember is that it was very, very tense trying to get to the front of a line for like a checkpoint, and that they did that about three times in the last half hour of the movie. And we have the part of our mission coming up where we have to do checkpoints, and we're very stressed about it because I don't know how we're going to get through three of them. I don't remember how they got through it. I just remember there was sort of like a ticking clock, like, oh no, what about the thing when we get to the checkpoint that happened and then immediately happened again and then immediately happened again in that movie. And we're afraid that that might happen to us and then happen to us again and then happen to us again. And so we're feeling very scared. We have tried to get in touch with some of the people who did that movie. But really, all of them, all we've gotten back is they are still saying, Argo, fuck yourself. Sure. That's very funny to them.
Yeah.
It is funny to me too, and I have been laughing, but I've also been trying to tell them, hey, we really need help. We're trying to do this Super Argo mission in this country where they have a lot of sand. I can't say the name of the country, but it's one of the mean ones. And we're trying to do something special and be heroes, and you guys are making it hard because when we ask you a question, you just go, Argo, fuck yourself. And we crack up. Just as we did when we watched that screener 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. So that is fun, and we could all use some levity, but it also is not great just because what we're dealing with is we might get stopped at a checkpoint, maybe die. And my only hope is that there's one guy who seems really difficult and like not on board with the plan, and that he'll step up and be a hero like what I think happened at the end of the Argo. The original, not the original Argo, the Argo where they were, the real Argo where they were pretending to make a movie called Argo that was a fake movie that I guess at one point was a real movie and it was based on a true story. So now we're doing a fake version of that real movie where they were pretending to make a real movie in a fake way. So that's all the news from the Super Argo front. And I forgot to say hi to the guest. Hey, guest.
Hey, yeah. Sean. It's Tom Sharpling.
That's so kind. And then, Hayes, what's been going on with you? I barely talked to you.
Nothing. We're just recording the show.
Oh, no.
No, that's good. It's not a bad
thing. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Okay. It's good.
Oh, well, hopefully they'll have more in time for when you need it. So, stay crack-a-lackin' and don't start slacking. And if you do see Alan Arkin, please tell him that I was not doing a joke when I talked to him and that we really could use some clarity on how they got through the obstacles at the checkpoints in that movie. Thank you.
Hey, bye. Sean, I wanted to ask if I was going to use your
cat. He's gone. I'm sorry. Mm. It gets a little shorter every time, too. Every one of my voice choice calls has been shorter than the last one by exactly 30 seconds.
Okay. All right. But I wanted to ask him for permission to maybe pinch hit once in a while. If he's going to be out and about,
right?
I could pinch hit for him.
Jump in and kind of co-host the show.
Just be him, the way the Three Stooges had like Curly. And then when Curly split, they had a guy named like Curly Joe. Like I could be like Sean Jr. When it's like, you know what I mean? For like an episode of the show, I could be Sean, like we got Sean Jr. this week. In the chair, and then at the end of the episode, it'd be like playing Sean Jr. Tom Sharpling played Sean Jr. on the show this week.
At the end of the episode.
At the end of, yeah.
So you want to basically play Sean on the show and not be yourself.
I figure it would get me into the rhythm that I could take that to my
take
own show.
Take back to your own show.
And then, yeah, and then it's
and a, maybe jump a couple spots.
A couple rungs, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
What's Shemp?
What's Shemp? He was, I think it went Curly. Then then Curly split.
Yeah.
And then they put a guy named Shemp in there.
Shemp is what they make that smoky stuff out of, huh?
What do you mean? The sticky?
Yeah.
The sticky icky, right?
So they make that out of Shemp. Oh. You know, George Washington used to grow Shemp.
He grew that. That's what, because there's a secret history to this whole country that a lot of people are just scared to talk about. And that's the kind of stuff is that Thomas Jefferson he grew all that chronic, right?
Yeah. What do you think they were growing that stuff for? Make rope?
No. If it was today, Thomas Jefferson would not even be able to run for office because he would be too busy running his chain of dispensaries in Los Angeles. He'd be so caught up in making sure the doctors were just that their pens were full of ink for somebody to come in and go, I have headaches. And then they go, here's your card.
And he needs someone to spin the side. Someone in sunglasses with big green leaves on them to spin the sign that says Dr. Kush.
Yeah, he'd be called Dr. Kush, Thomas Jefferson. He'd be like, bro, I ain't got time. He'd probably have a podcast where he talked about weed, right?
Yes.
So in some alternate universe, Doug Benson and Thomas Jefferson are the same person.
I guess that means,
Is that a thing?
And I can honestly imagine Doug Benson roaming Monticello. And I guess impregnating a slave and lying about it.
But with one of those big balloons full of... What's in those things? I'm assuming that's weed smoke in there. What about... Picture this, and I'm pitching this out. Any of these weed-centric entertainers could use this.
Wait, weed-centric the entertainer? You're talking about weed-centric the entertainer?
Yeah, yeah. What about a hot air balloon filled with just pot smoke? Just picture that thing.
And the guy wants to smoke it so bad, like suck it all out. But if he does, the balloon will fall.
Or what if they're in a balloon that's like going to go in? It's just going too high, and it's going to go into space because someone pulled, like the thing is jammed or something. Yeah.
Quick, who's gonna eat all this smoke?
And then suddenly you turn around, and it's like bump, 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 and it's like Snoop Dogg is on it.
Suddenly you turn around at the hot air balloon and this new guy is in there. Bum, 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 bum.
And he just goes. And then the balloon lands safely. And then he just. And they say, thank you. If it's Snoop Dogg or Weed Centric the Entertainer or Doug Benson or whichever one of these pot comedians or pot entertainers we have. And then they would just be on the ground and then they would just go, they'd say, thank you for saving us. And he'd say something like, I'm higher now on the ground than I was
that's good.
In that balloon.
That's good. And they were almost in space. We do want to quickly finish story of what happened. Basically, I think we all, like when we were sort of led off the cruise, I think we all got sold to the Taliban. And I remember, you know, me sort of being in a cage in like sort of a human zoo that they were running there. But you joined the Taliban immediately.
I got caught up in it, I'll admit. I'm kind of a go with the crowd kind of guy. It's like if I'm in a thing and somebody goes like, hey, what did you think of Star Wars? And I'll just be like, what did you think of Star Wars? And they'll be like, I thought it was good. I thought it was good too.
Right.
Or if they're just like, I'll be like, hey, what did you think of Star Wars? I'll be like, what did you think? They'll be like, I thought it sucked. I'll be like, yeah, it sucked. So
instead of liking Star Wars, in this case, it was, hey, what do you think about killing this journalist?
And I was like, well, what do you think about killing this journalist? And they're like, I think we're going to do it. And I was like, okay, yeah, let's do it. But then I always managed to like slide into the back.
Right.
You know, it's like a.
I did notice that.
If there's a classroom, I'm always sitting in the last row, and I just was doing that a whole lot with these guys. Or I would just be like, is anyone thirsty? Like, I would say that a fair amount, and I would be like, I'll go fill the canteens.
Right. And people, they were thirsty a lot. Like
fair amount. Yeah, it's very hot.
It's very hot. Yeah. You were very mean to me in the sort of dining tent area, I guess the cafeteria equivalent that they had. You called me a lot of and I understand it's like a very high pressure situation, but you called me
order
like
that.
A goat's mother. And
and then afterwards I was like I'm so sorry. Like I would just whisper that. I would say like there's a reason.
I did hear you. Yeah,
I would be like, there's a reason why you're in this human zoo, you dirty animal. I'm so sorry, Hayes. You know I don't feel this way.
So, and then I think we did see Sean walking by at one point, but he was distracted. Like, he had sort of that poofy, like, Ben Affleck hair, which at the time I didn't really understand. And I remember yelling out to him, but it seemed like he was trying to do a scene where he and a sort of John Goodman type were meeting at like the smokehouse in Burbank.
Yeah.
But like in the middle of the desert.
Across from Warner Brothers.
Yeah. And I think he was just like very distracted by that.
Yeah. I thought he was going for an American Hustle thing with his hair at first. But then you were like,
the part was so far to one side, and then it was like such a big poofy part.
You were like, no, it's Argo. And I was like, shut up, you filthy animal. I think you're right, Ace. I think it actually is Argo. You're right. I'm sorry. It's not American Hustle. It's Argo.
And so that's how it turns out. We were able to secure a release because I guess it turns out that Scott Aukerman is like kind of friends with the Taliban.
It was strange how,
because I remember like we mentioned, you know, that we did podcasting and that we knew Scott Aukerman, and they were like, oh, Scott Aukerman.
Yeah. And it's, first of all, it's funny how they sound like Larry David over there.
No, that's exactly. Yeah. What they sound like. Yeah.
But I remember Scott said something very powerful at the end of all this. He was like, he said, there are no countries it's just five or six corporations.
Yeah.
And I play all of them like a fiddle. And then he gave me a Howl.fm premium subscription for 1 month, only 1 month. I thought he would at least give me 6 free months.
And I like the, I mean, he said explicitly that mid-roll media is one of the five or six.
He said it's the Bilderberg Group. It's
yeah, Halliburton, it's, the Bilderberg Group, Bechdel, Lockheed Martin.
Mid-roll.
Mid-roll media. Hang on, Sean is calling me again.
I really have to ask him about this because I think there's a play to be had here.
Okay, let me just get in with him first. Hey, Sean.
Hey, it's me.
Hey, buddy.
Clam Dog. Another update.
These are coming so fast.
Sorry to call in again so much.
No,
we've been doing
that's
so
okay.
much phone calls lately.
Yeah,
but this is another real one, and it's not pre-recorded. And not that I feel the need to prove it, but if it was pre-recorded, would I leave a space right now for you to say, like, what?
No, I don't think you would.
What? Anyway, I'm the Clem Dog, and I am on the phone, and I just want to say, false alarm. I know things sounded a little hairy the last time I updated you on Super Argo. And it was a real concern for us. We were not as familiar as the movie with the movie as we should have been, and we were freaking out. But as it turns out, we were in a island that's sand, but it was not a scary place like we thought. We are on a beach, and it's Hawaii. So what wound up happening is we just threw on an Is record. That's the guy who sings Over the Rainbow so pretty. And we all just chilled out, hang out on the beach, careful for jellyfish, but other than that, just let loose and have fun. And it wound up not being that big a mission so much as it was just a Hawaiian Christmas for us. So anyway, if anyone was scared, I'm okay, better than okay. I'm chilling out in a grass skirt, straight up shaking my can. So everybody, you stay cool. Hope you have a good new year. And this has been a real phone call. And just tell me what we're talking about right before I called.
We're just finishing the show. I
couldn't hear you.
Okay.
Anyway, we will have to jam soon. And the Super Argo mission was ultimately a success without us having to do Argo, which was, you know, good but not great from what I recall from, I think, 4 or 5 years ago when I saw it the one time. So, all right.
Sean, before you bounce, Tom, do you want to get in there?
Yeah, I would like to just, before you bounce.
I think there was a connection issue. I am a little concerned that he thinks he's in Hawaii because when we were in Waziristan, we definitely did see him there.
Yeah.
And I wonder if potentially he's been tricked by the Taliban into thinking that.
So he might be in some sort of Tropic Thunder situation where he thinks he's in a, he thinks, but it's the opposite.
Right.
Because he thinks.
He thinks he's on a Hawaiian vacation, but yeah, he's actually, I mean, it's a little bit like the Larry the Cable Guy movie.
Which one? The one where he rides that jet? Oh, that's not a, it's a Prilosec commercial. I thought it was a action movie for a second, but it's a movie where, it's a commercial where he's.
It's not Larry the Cable Guy health inspector. It's not Witless Protection. It's Delta Farce.
Delta Farce.
It's a little bit like Delta Farce.
Mm-hmm. Is Bill Engvall in that one?
Yes, he is in that one. Yes. It stars Bill, Larry the Cable Guy, DJ Qualls, and Danny Trejo.
Mm-hmm. How'd they get Danny Trejo?
He doesn't do just anything.
No. He doesn't. Sure, he's done three badass movies so far.
Yeah.
Where he's bringing to life that guy who got into that old man who got into a fight on a bus with some kids, where he's done at least two of those. But he's very selective about the things he does.
Yeah.
The first thing he says is, he's like, is the check going to clear? And then second thing he says is, with or without my vest? Am I shirtless with a vest or not?
Yeah.
And then the next thing he says is, do I bring my machete to set or not? And then he asks about Crafty. He wants to make sure that there's a fish option at Crafty.
He's a pescatarian.
He's just sick of the chicken. He's just sick of the chicken.
Anyway, so we are back safely, thanks to Scott Aukerman. I guess the Taliban said they owed him a favor or something. And we're excited to get going back into the show. We will be going dark again next week. Sean is continuing on his vacation. And I know if... You know, you say that you could just like jump in, and I guess we will.
Sean Jr.
Yeah, I guess we can begin that conversation. But I'll say, like, I guess if we don't have an episode next week, then just assume that those conversations didn't go well.
Well, you see, Hayes, if, and I'm doing the thing now.
No, it's it does. It sounds a lot like him. The way he says, "You see,
in." A movie, yeah. It's
yeah,
it's a
it's great. When people
I don't
do
have
that.
It down as much as I thought I did. I thought I had the thing down so much more.
You
I
was had doing the two the words shower. That you say twice.
I was doing it in the shower. What up? What up?
Yeah,
and then you see Hayes, and then I thought I could just that would like start it, but I realized I should have worked on it more.
So it, again. It could happen next week. We'll see what results we get with your sort of practice.
Yes, Hayes. You see, if we see, I lost it again. God damn it! I thought I had the voice down. I could feel what up. What he wouldn't say it at this point of the show, though. This is the last place he'd say it.
Well, I mean, I guess you can do. We can give out the pro version to Silver Woman. Which is like a little introduction to
Sean Jr.
Sean Jr.
You see, Silver Girl, you... what up, Silver Girl? You... Ooh, it's harder to do a full impression to rather just... It's easy to just capture it for a second. You know what I mean? That's, I guess, the difference between these guys who do impressions... Who versus just somebody at work just knocking out the it's a few. I can't do it. I'm sorry. I thought I had it. I don't have it. What up? What up?
Bye.
Hollywood Handbook is brought to you by Wolf Cool Productions, a subsidiary of Calvin and Hobbes. Ow, baby.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.